Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Susan, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, January 22nd, 2026, and we are reading from the Big Book. We're continuing on in Bill's story, and today we're reading two paragraphs, page 14, starting with the third paragraph, "For a moment I was alarmed," through to "He knows that they are real." Today's readers are Shelley E., who will read the text, Cara L., a Vision for You, and Chanel T. is our backup. Alice G. is our newcomer greeter, and Leslie M. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, January 21st, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 23,143. And for Thursday, January 22nd, 7 a.m. Eastern, is 23,149. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At the Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps, and someone's unmuted, of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Kathleen C. to please read the 12 steps of OA for us. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Susan. Thank you. I'm grateful to be moving through the 12 steps. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand Him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you so much, Kathleen. And I will now ask Joanne L. to please read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, Susan. Thank you for your service today, and welcome to everybody, especially the newcomers. I am Joanne L. I'm recovered in Rhode Island. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I thank you, and I pass.
Thank you. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. Hey, we're on page 14, we're in Bill's story, and today we're reading two paragraphs, starting with the third paragraph, "For a moment I was alarmed," through to "He knows that they are real." And I will now ask Shelley E. to please start reading and sharing with us. Thank you, Shelley. Shelley, star 1, I know you're trying. Shelley, press star 1 to unmute. I'm not sure if something's happened with Shelley. Chanel, are you there? Could you take over, please?
Sure, I'm here, Chanel T. in Washington State, grateful and recovered compulsive eater by the grace of God today. Let me get that paragraph so I'm really seeing it. It'll just take me one moment. Thank you. Hold on. Thanks for being patient, you guys. I had it and then... Sorry about that. And I don't want to try to do it from memory. You don't want me to do that, trust me. Okay, from page 14. Here we go. I had it. All right. "For a moment, I was alarmed and called my friend, the doctor, to ask if I were still sane. He listened in wonder as I talked. Finally, he shook his head, saying, 'Something has happened to you. I don't understand, but you had better hang on to it. Anything is better than the way you were.' The good doctor now sees many men who have such experiences. He knows that they are real." Wow, the miracles of this program. The miracles of people who weren't even alcoholics cooperating and helping. I'm so grateful. And Dr. Silkworth saying, you know what? I can't explain it. Science isn't going to explain this. You've had a spiritual or phenomenon, as he would talk about, a phenomenon that I can't explain. And we're not talking about phenomenon of craving here. We're talking about the phenomenon of something greater than myself coming to my aid in a way that I can recover, be cured. No, no known cure for alcoholism, for compulsive eating. But I can have this life where I'm not pulled to the food. I don't have to live in bondage to that food because of a higher power restoring me to sanity. That's incredible. It really is. It's magical. It's mysterious. And I'm so grateful not only for that, but also for Dr. Silkworth explaining to me, explaining to us, that it's not my fault I have this disease. I'm grateful for Reverend Shoemaker and others explaining a spiritual path to a better life that was then adapted by Bill and others to make the 12 steps. Grateful for Dr. Jung saying, yeah, there's a need for the spiritual here. There's a need for it for these alcoholics and addicts in general, like me, with the food. I am so grateful, and I better hang on to it. Whether I have the white light experience, which I did not in this program, or I have the experience as a gradual spiritual awakening where it's subtle, but amazing nonetheless. I am eternally indebted to Dr. Silkworth and the other non-alcoholics who helped Bill W. and others come to recovery with a higher power. And for that, and with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chanel. All right. So let me tell you what we're doing this morning.
Excuse me, what
before
page
we take
are
the
on?
Lineup. I'm going to tell you right now. Give me 1 second.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Hold on 1 second. I'm going to tell you if you can all just take a beat.
Sorry.
So
thank you.
What we're discussing today is we are on page 14. We're discussing two paragraphs. And if everyone can mute themselves, please. Starting with the third paragraph, from the moment I was alarmed through to the end of that second paragraph, he knows that they are real. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So those are the two paragraphs. That's what we're discussing. And if this is your third day on either meeting, please can you give me your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from? Who would like to share today?
Shayla.
Susanna A., California.
I heard Susanna A., and then was there a Dana?
Gayla.
Gayla
F., Los Angeles.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Gayla.
Nancy L. Carrie W.
Thank you, Carrie. Nancy, where are you calling from?
Arizona.
Thank you. Who else would like to join this first lineup, please?
Brittany.
Carrie W. from San Diego.
Yes, I got you, Carrie. No problem. And
Brittany, okay,
what's your last? No worries. Brittany, what's your last initial and where are you calling from, please?
This is Courtney J., North Carolina.
Oh. Well, I got that wrong, didn't I?
That's all right.
Okay. And anybody else?
R. Good morning.
Sorry, something R you cut out in the beginning.
Paul R.
Paul. And where are you calling from, Paul?
I'm calling from California.
Thank you. All right, we have a big California crowd going on here today. All right, I have Susanna A., Gayla S., Nancy L., Perry W., Courtney J., and Paul R. So if everybody other than Susanna could mute their line. Susanna, please start sharing with us on these two paragraphs. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Susan. Thanks for your service. Thanks, everybody. Good morning, Susanna, compulsive overeater in recovery. here, happy to be sharing. The two things that really stood out in this passage for me when I was listening, there was the wonder, like listening and wonder and experience. Those are two like touchstones that tell me, how do I go out in the world? Like, if I think I know it all, seen it all, I've done it all, you know, I'm missing the point. Like, I can listen in wonder, and I can have experiences. I can have new experiences. And the other thing that really stood out was the collective. Like, I don't know how many times I've reached out to somebody in the program where I'm like, am I crazy? You know, and I'm met with compassion. I'm met with, no, you have a disease. You know, you have a bodily and mental and spiritual disease, and there is a solution. And so I get that, like, reassurance. I get that connection. And then through that connection, I connect to my higher power. So for me, the things that I'm, the takeaway is, like, stay connected, reach out, ask for help when you need it, and you know, fall into the safety net. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Susanna A. in California. Next, we have Gayla S., also in California. Good morning, Gayla. Gayla, star one to unmute, please.
Yes, Gayla S. here. I lost the call and just got redialed. Thank you. I absolutely love this, and I can identify with it even before I was in program. Growing up, I did have faith, and I did have spiritual awakening, spiritual experiences. It says something has happened to you. I don't understand. I can see it that way. I also see it as something has happened inside of you. When I have had those, and I call them communications directly from the spirit, and it says better hang on to it. There's no way I can't hang on to those experiences because they are so penetrating and so undeniable. And I'm grateful for those. And I know that I can have those experiences throughout my life with program. And some of those experiences came without program. I think that for me, I believe the spirit operates within me and I can nurture it. And there are some moments when my higher power is present. My higher power loves me so much, my higher power intervenes and touches my soul, touches my spirit in a way that I cannot forget and will not forget. Do I have slips at times? Do I do the program imperfectly? Yes. Am I constantly in tune all the time? Of course not. But I can be worthy. I am worthy. My higher power wants to speak to me constantly and be with me constantly. My higher power is there no matter what. I am the one that opens the door. I am the one that invites. I am the one that struggles and invites and asks for, and my higher power comes and speaks to me and guides me and directs me. And with that, I'll close. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Gayla S. in California. Next, we are going to Arizona. Good morning to Nancy L.
Good morning, Susan. Good morning, everyone. This is Nancy L. in Arizona. Grateful to be abstinent today, 100-pounder, and welcome newcomers. Well, the one sentence that just pops out to me is, something has happened to you I don't understand, but you'd better hang on to it. My mother-in-law said this to me one time, and I about fell over. I thought, oh, my gosh, she must know the big book. She had known me for years and years and years and years, and when she said this, I had been abstinent for one decade. It's now been two decades. I wanted so bad for her to say to me, what is it that you're doing? I want to know what you're doing. We really didn't, we loved each other, but we didn't communicate about, especially about weight, though. But that was some, we never talked about that. unless we were talking about what the latest, greatest ice cream was out there. But when she said that to me, my heart just leaped because I just wanted to give all the glory to my higher power, because if it weren't for him, I would have been huge. I was already huge, but I would have been extremely, I'm 77 now. I doubt I would have lived past 65. I was that big. Anyway, thank you everybody for listening to my reminiscing of my sweet, sweet mother-in-law who died at the age of 91. I pass.
Thank you so much, Nancy L. Next, we're going to San Diego, California. Good morning to Kerry W.
Hi, this is Kerry W. in San Diego. Hello, Susan, and thank you, everyone, for your service that you do on this meeting. Yeah, I think I didn't realize I was insane. That was kind of a shock to me when I read the big book and realized people don't think like I do. I thought everyone thought like I do, but my brain is insane when it comes to certain things, especially food, and other people don't have that problem. So, you know, I needed to have that shift, that spiritual experience that this book is talking about. And it happened when I came in the rooms and started working the program. I don't know why nothing else worked. You know, I tried all the other stuff, all the other diets and eating plans and restricting and doing everything, and nothing would work. And then I come in here and start to do what everyone tells me in this program, and I get neutral around food. It's a miracle. So that's such a spiritual experience. Just having that shift of neutrality and not thinking about food all the time. I mean, that is a miracle, definitely. So I need to hang on to it. It says, but you had better hang on to it. Well, I'm going to hang on to it. But thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Kerry W. in San Diego, California. Next, we are going to North Carolina. Good morning to Courtney J.
Thank you. Hello, everybody, and thank you all for your service for this meeting. I'm sitting here overlooking a beautiful river in North Carolina and reminded of 6 months ago is when I said I have to do this program. My life depends on it because I would die if I never lived the life that God intended me to live, which is to live without sugar. And so I'm the raging sugar addict, been in the rooms for 30 years or so, because I came in and said, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of not being able to keep my own promises. So I said that to my face-to-face meeting, and I kept my promise that I would keep coming back. That was the promise that I made, and I have kept that promise to this day. Not the face-to-face meetings, but staying in the rooms, because this is where I heard the solution. I also am lying here reminded that, like I said, 6 months ago, I was making the bed. I had just retired in June. It was July now. I had been on a beautiful trip, and I had this beautiful oceanfront home. I have. And my inner voice said, Courtney, you have all of this, i.e. kind of you have arrived, except you're not working this program. And in my heart, I said, this is why you don't have joy. You have all these beautiful gifts, and yet you don't have joy. And I knew it was because I wasn't working this program like it's meant to be worked. Okay, so 3 months maybe, I got a sponsor at that point, that day, pretty much that day. And I worked the steps, worked the program like I've never worked it before in all these years, because I didn't want to let go of the sugar. Anyhow, for one moment I was alarmed. We'll go back to the reading. I called my friend and asked if I was still insane. He listened in wonder as I talked. What I remember is after getting through the steps, and my sponsor said, Courtney, I think you're ready. And I said, "What? Ready for what?" She said, Courtney, I think you're ready to sponsor. I was like, what? Anyhow, I went somewhere out and about, and I felt lit up. I was lit up. I was colorful. I was happy. I was joyous. I was free. I was neutral. That's how I went throughout my day. I was lit up because what I had known 3 months prior was I didn't have joy. I had everything else but joy, and in my heart of hearts, I knew why. And that's why I stick around, keep coming back, newcomers. It works when you work it. I didn't work it. I was a half measures girl. I wanted to keep having my sugar and still get recovery. It doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. So thanks for letting me share. Thanks for letting me share. Have a great day.
Thank you. And that was Courtney J. in North Carolina. Next, we're coming back to California. Good morning to Paul R.
Good morning, everyone. This is Paul R., a real recovering compulsive overeater. You know, what a beautiful thing to have another chance for life. You know, coming back from, you know, like, because it's like, says it so beautifully, like, this power can bring back us from the gate of death. And that's where I was, and that's where I was. You know, like, everyone who struggles with this disease is at one point, I personally, and I think it's like the best things ever happened to me that had that had the awakening that I'm able to experience, that I'm fully conceived to my innermost self that I am a real alcoholic. And what does that mean really? Is that I just go to any land. I just find someone and tell me what to do, really. About everything, about the food. You know, I was like the food, because it's end of the day I needed to learn on my own. And you know, my sponsor, great guide through this. This is all about my mental obsession. What game am I playing? How am I lying and cheating around the food, the measurements and restricting and all that game that my mind was playing with me, that which is in me, that I just don't want to play anymore. And now I see it, what I'm actually doing with myself. And, you know, it takes time. It does, but once it comes, like I, you know, what is rigorous honesty means? I'm just fully transparent with my food. I don't want to cover and hide anything anymore. I want to, and you know, it's that time. It just comes, and it's like I have no intention to hide anything anymore with the food, with the measures, with the, you know, like, and it's just, it's just done. It's over. I abandon myself. And then I have a chance to, you know, how to be useful for humanity and for other peoples, and how to bring this principles and practice these principles at work. And I'm going in and how to practice these principles, like anywhere. After I wake up, I have a chance to follow and learn what is God's will means.
That's
and what
all feels means.
And yeah, I'm just grateful to be able to be in this meeting, and thanks for everyone that shared. I will pass.
Thank you. And before I take the next list, let me remind you where we are. We're in Bill's story, page 14. We read and we're discussing two paragraphs today, starting with the third paragraph. For a moment I was alarmed, through to he knows that they are real. So again, as a reminder, if today is your third day to share, please star one, unmute, and let me know your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from this morning. Who would like to share?
Mary
N. A. from Colorado.
I heard Mary C. and somebody else from Colorado. Is Mary from Colorado?
Nope, Jen Ohio. A. from Colorado.
Jen, hi, Jen. Mary, where are you from?
Ohio.
Ohio. Okay. Who would like to join Mary and Jen? All right. Well, so as not to waste time, we'll get going while you're...
Debbie W.
Sorry, who's this? Debbie.
Debbie W.
Where are you from, Debbie?
Mm-hmm. California.
Okay, great. Anyone else before...
Yep. Russ Ann B., Michigan.
Russ Ann B., Michigan. Okay. Anyone else? I feel like star one is being a little sticky today, but okay. So I have Mary C., Jen A., Debbie W., and Rossanne B., Michigan. So Mary, go ahead, please. Thank you.
Mary C., compulsive overeater. This is a beautiful paragraph. And it's so true. I don't understand what happened. All I know that it's above what I can do. I have no power to do what I'm doing. And it comes from somewhere else. And it comes from deep within. And that is God. I just don't, this being abstinent part, I never even dreamed that I could be abstinent. And I have to say, it's not perfect. I don't have perfect abstinence, but the majority of the time I do. And I owe it all to God. And, it's like I was afraid to sponsor. I was afraid that I was going to mess it up. And I realize now, after being in the program for a couple of years, you really are there just as a guide and to help them and to help them go through the steps. And I have some wonderful sponsees, and I've come to know them and love them dearly, and we've become very close. And if it wasn't for this program, I would have never had that, this kind of a different relationship that I have with them versus what I have with family and friends. It's very different. It's a very spiritual relationship. And it's one that I hold dearly in my heart. And it's all because of my higher power. And, this has not been for me. I didn't have an awakening. This has been a long, slow process for me. And I am a slow learner. And, I take two steps forward and one step back. But you know what? I'm always going forward. Even though I may trip or something, I'm always still, God picks me up and puts me back on my path that I belong. And I am so grateful for this program and everybody on this call, and especially to my higher power. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mary C. in Ohio. Next, we have Jen A. in Colorado. Good morning, Jen.
Morning, Sue. Thanks for taking the meeting. Love it. And love where we're at, right? My name is Jen A., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic bulimic, and exercise bulimic here in Colorado. And I'm so thankful that God saved a girl like me. He saved Bill. Bill had to do some things. Bill had to put down the alcohol, and Bill had to work the steps. And then Bill got the promise at the top of page 14, and I love that. And now we're seeing that, something happened to Bill. And not only does Bill notice it, but somebody else. And I have the same experience that Bill had with someone else noticing something in me. In 2014, I started a job with a company, and my boss hired me, and he said, "You're the events coordinator. You're in charge. And on events day, you're the boss. You can do whatever you want." I'm in the disease, right? Oh boy, am I bossy. I'm itchy, twitchy, and bitchy, always coming to work like a bull in a china shop. And I didn't come into Overeaters Anonymous till 2016 and didn't work the steps until late 16, 17. But let me just tell you, in 17, my boss got me down and he said to me, I had worked the steps. I was on my amends. I was sponsoring people. I was doing 10, 11, and 12. I had worked the steps. I was living the steps. And my boss called me into his office and said to me, "You know what? Something's got to change in you. You're too much. And what I had done is I had taken what someone said to the extreme. Even though I knew the principles of this program, even though I had worked the steps, even though there had been changes happening in my life, I still acted a certain way. I still showed up a certain way. And God had to work through me through a lot of 10 steps. But he sat across the desk from me and he said, you got 90 days to figure it out. I left there crying. I walked down the hill. I called my sponsor. I said, what do I do? He says, you start writing inventory and you start giving it away and praying to God that he changes a girl like you. Otherwise, you're going to lose your job. I'm a single mom, you guys. I was self-employed until I got this job. I finally had health insurance. You know, like I thought I had arrived. Sound like Bill? And 90 days went by. I remember being on the side of my bed. I remember being on my knees every single morning. I remember doing the inventory. I remember praying every single day. And I said, I wasn't praying for not to lose my job. I was praying for God to change me from the inside out so that I wouldn't lose this job. Like, I knew I had been changed, but I needed him to show me in a big way that something was different. 90 days later, I sat across the desk from my boss and my manager. And they said, wow, you know, we're just going to give you the floor first. We want to hear what you think about the last 90 days. And I thought, why are they doing this to me? And he says to me, because we have seen something in you and a total change and revolution, and we don't even understand it. Anything was better than the way you were before, right? Something happened to me they didn't understand. I understood it.
That's
I worked
time.
These steps. I trusted in God. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Susan.
Thank you so much, Jen A. in Colorado. Next, we have Debbie W. in California. Good morning, Debbie.
Hi, I'm Debbie W. in California. And I have to share because, I mean, something has happened to me that I don't understand. I mean, I've known God for a lot of years. But getting in this program and working these steps has made it possible for me to have a deeper relationship with God. I don't understand everything, but I sure love being the person I am now and not the person I was, because that person just dreaded the good stuff. I couldn't understand why I dreaded the good stuff. But my friend took me to the OA birthday party in January 2023, and I saw all these people, and they were so happy and friendly. And I was like, I don't know what this is, but I want it. And boy, I got it. And has it been perfect? Of course not. But I live my life this way now, and I'm so much happier, and God has blessed me in so many ways. It's just unbelievable. And if somebody was to tell me this 5 years ago, I wouldn't have believed it. I would have been like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But now that I'm working the program, living the program, loving the program, I am the program, and I love it. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Debbie W. in California. Next, we have Rosanne B. in Michigan. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for being here. This is Russ Ann B. in beautiful, snowy Michigan. I've been wanting to get on a call for a while and have made several attempts, and just like, you know, it was a little bit too late in the day or whatever, but I know the miracle of this program, and I know that when I take action, and I open the door to my higher power, all things become possible. I got onto the line, and the first few things I said were really important for me to hear. I heard somebody talking about falling into the safety net of this program. And that, for me, that means surrendering to my higher power, surrendering to the idea of faith, calling on other people and depending on other people instead of feeling like I have to do it for myself. I also heard that we can move from insanity to sanity, and none of us is so lost that we cannot make that trip from insanity to sanity. But what we need to do is we need to take action. And sometimes I am like white knuckling it to get myself to take action. I don't know what it is inside me. I don't need to define it. That makes me want to work.
Oh, did you mute yourself, Sveta?
What I need to do is take any action. And thank you all for being there. With that, I pass.
Okay. Seems to be having technical difficulties today. All right. We have time for maybe three shares. We'll have to see. So come on, star one, unmute. Two fabulous paragraphs today. Mm-hmm. Page 14.
Mary Kay from Illinois.
Thank you,
paragraph,
Mary. Who else
please.
Would like to join? Page 14, two paragraphs. For a moment I was alarmed, through to he knows that they are real.
Thank you.
Mary Kay from Illinois.
I got Mary Kay, and who else? Okay, Mary,
Vanessa,
why don't you go ahead? Oh, Susan, who was that? Vanessa? Was that
yes,
you?
Yes, Vanessa. Mexico.
Okay.
Yes, it's...
yes. All right. I've got Mary Kay and Vanessa, and then we will see where we are. Go ahead, Mary Kay in Illinois.
Hi, this is Mary Kay from Chicago. Thank you for everyone, your service, and being here. I can really relate to that. January 2nd in 2018, I sat at an OA meeting that had a lot of recovery. And I don't know what was said at that meeting. Sometimes I think I should go back and listen to the recording, but I was free of my sugar obsession that day. It just, you know, I used to do it for periods. I used to, you know, do it for Lent. And all of a sudden, it just was lifted from me, and I felt the shift. And I was in the meeting on Tuesday night, the same meeting. And at that meeting, we count days, and I hadn't been counting days. And my abstinence has been redefined over the years. Like, I gave up the sugar, then I needed to do other things, weigh and measure, give up this, that, and that food. And I was sitting at the meeting on Tuesday, and I was like, just raise your hand and count days. And I was like, I'm not going to do it. And I literally could feel that it was like a struggle between God and the devil, like live in the crazy world or be like honest and pure. And I just raised my hand. And since then, I have felt the shift. I can really relate. I'm so happy I jumped on this meeting today because I feel it. I feel a sense of centeredness. I feel a sense of peace and calm, and I'm grateful for people who get on these calls and share, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much, Mary Kay. Next, we have Vanessa G. in New Mexico. Go ahead, Vanessa.
Hi, everybody. My name is Vanessa G. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. The first sentence in this paragraph, and to start out with, it just makes me laugh, or at least makes me smile. You know, here, because we know the end of the story, here's Bill W. actually starting to be returned to sanity, and he thinks he's crazy as a result. You know, our alcoholic thinking, our compulsive eating disease has us in such grip that when we start to feel better, when we start to actually think that, you know, something is happening to us, that just when we start to have this spiritual experience or this spiritual awakening, it's so different and so new that we think that maybe, you know, something is wrong. And actually, it's very, very right. And then, you know, the other thing that makes me smile in this paragraph is anything is better than the way you were. You better hang on to it because anything is better than the way that you were. And gosh, that was so true for me. Anything would have been better than the way I was. I was so dead inside and so close to death on the outside. This disease, you know, just had me in its grip. I couldn't see the forest or the trees. I couldn't tell the true from the false. I was just numbed out to life and definitely numbed out to the presence of a loving God in my life. in that life. You know, today I had a conversation with another fellow yesterday, and we were laughing over the fact that God even directs us to wash our dogs. Even in the most mundane tasks, God is present in my life today. And I no longer see it as something wrong, but something that has saved my life, that has caused me to become, you know, a really just a different person, a person that looks to God for answers. And as a result, my life is so much better. I don't have to eat anymore. I don't, you know, to solve my problem, to pretend to solve my problems or to numb myself out from the fact that I myself have no answers. My life is now directed by a loving God. And it's much more than sane. It's so much better than what anything is better, but this is like a complete 360. I am so glad to be in the program of the 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. It has saved my life more than once. And thank you so much for letting me share this morning. I am so grateful.
Perfect timing. All right, we have time for one more three-minute share. So we've been holding out on these two great paragraphs on page 14. First voice I hear gets the last share.
Jordan L.
Thank you, Jordan. Go ahead. Jordan, go ahead and share with us.
Okay, sorry. I muted myself.
Okay.
My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. I came into a different 12-step program prior to OA. My very first sponsor in that program, I remember her saying to me, I was like 20 years old when I walked in to the rooms of AA. And I remember my sponsor saying to me, Jordan, you're going to go far in this program because you got a long way to go. And it makes me chuckle even to this day. That was kind of what I needed, was like a dose of humility. And that's what I see in this paragraph. That's what I see for Bill and the doctor, you know, like the good doctor Silkworth has been working with him, and trying to figure this out, trying to come up with a solution, so that Bill can stay alive, because he was definitely the kind of alcoholic that was on death's door. And then Bill has a spiritual experience, tells the doctor about it, and the doctor's like, anything is better than the way that you were. So don't worry too much about it. You know, like, you don't have to judge it. You don't have to read into it. You don't have to do any of those things. You just have to show up and participate and experience it. And kind of see where it goes, see where it takes you. And that was my own experience in AA as well as OA. Coming into OA, I had a little bit more, I'd seen a little bit more of God working in my life. So I had a little bit more of an idea formulated, I suppose. And I got really sort of anxious about the whole spiritual, about some of the spiritual aspects of the program. And it was really important for me to just like continue to remind myself, like sit back, enjoy the ride, see where this goes, you know? And I gotta say, like, today, the 12 steps, God, the 12 steps really gave me a really beautiful life. Worth living. And I'm very grateful to them for that. And I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jordan L. in Colorado. Okie dokie, we are now at the end. All right, sorry, my computer just jumped around on us. Thank you, everyone, for your service this morning. Sorry for some of the technical glitches we had, but those are out of our control. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Cara L., will you please read a vision for you for us? Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. My name is Cara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with God and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.